Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, the day after the 4th of July. This is the 5th of July. We're celebrating the founding of our country, and I have Father Frank Pavone filling in for Jess today. Father Frank, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
How you doing today? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th is right. Father, I always say I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire, because my hope is in Jesus Christ. And I thank you for taking the time to talk about life issues in defense of the unborn and the longborn. And today's show, we're going to be covering a lot of material. I love this story. Catholic bishops, are you ready? Launch a campaign against President Joe Biden's plan for a tax-paying funded abortion. Thank you, bishops, for standing up for life in that way. We have to call them out. And I think we'll be talking about that. Also, I got some good news from Louisiana. While the governor signed a pro-life bill to save babies from abortion, more states are doing this. It seems that as we have the most pro-abortion president in the United States we've ever had, the states are stepping up and saying, not on my watch, we're not going to let you do this. We also have a story about Nancy Pelosi. And this is a sad story, but I got to talk about it, Father Frank. They're blocking a bill to ban tax-paying funded abortions. In 8 days, they blocked it 35 times. And these are the Democrats. And what's sad about it, Father Frank, is Nancy Pelosi is a baptized Catholic. And I would, if I was with her right now, I'd give her a hug and I'd say, repent and believe in the gospel, just like I tell myself. Because I really want to see her become what I call a loyal Catholic, a Catholic who lives her Catholic faith. And I think our Lord would love that. Also, we're going to be talking about a priest. Unfortunately, Father, this is a priest who is in Washington, D.C., over in Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Georgetown. He confirms today that he will give and continue to give Holy Communion to President Joe Biden. And I just bring this up because of what our church officially teaches regarding receiving Holy Communion. And I also want to bring in what I consider one of our friends of the show, Archbishop Cordeleon, who's standing up for life regarding that issue of Holy Communion. And I'm going to encourage our listeners to write a short letter to the San Francisco Chronicle, who's attacking Archbishop Cordeleon, saying that he's alienating the fold of the Catholics that he serves. And I would say just the opposite. So I would ask your support for that. But before we get to all of these issues and much more, Father Frank, I would ask you to do the honors of giving, as Jesse calls it, soul food, the gospel of the today's Mass of the July 5th of 2021.
Okay, so it comes from Matthew chapter 9, and we read, while Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Mm. Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. Mm-hmm. And the news of this spread throughout all that land. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, this, of course, is so pertinent to our discussion today and to the ministry I'm engaged in full time, because it's about Jesus as the Lord of life, the Amen. Conqueror of death. Amen. And he puts this victory of life and of healing mm-hmm. in the context of faith. You know, he didn't raise every dead person there in his day. He didn't heal every sick person in the whole world while he walked the earth. Because his purpose was not to do that. His purpose was to bring people to faith in him. Once we have faith in him, then we have that relationship and that life of God, which brings the ultimate victory over all disease and all death, in fact, for everyone. In other words, that unfolds at the end of time when he comes back in glory. But before he comes back, we have to make sure as many people as possible are joined to that life of Christ by faith, by baptism, by the sacraments, joined to that life of Christ, which ultimately does bring healing to everyone and resurrection from the dead to everyone. So we have in our midst now the one who conquers death. Amen. And that's why, as you were saying, and it will unfold in this conversation, you can't be a follower of Christ and say no to life. Saying yes to Christ is saying yes to life and no to death. And no to everything that destroys human beings, starting with this abominable crime of abortion. So there's some thoughts.
Thank you, Father. Very fruitful thoughts. And I just want to say today's saint is Saint Anthony of Zechariah. He was a priest, and I didn't know a lot about him until I really studied. You think every year I read about him, but I delved a little deeper into his life. And as many people, the church is always in need of reform. And he lived in 1502 to 1539, short life of 37 years. But to renew the clergy and the laity, he promoted Eucharistic adoration, the 40-hour devotion. And when I was a kid, I don't know about you in New York, I'm in LA, but when I was a kid, every parish in our diocese had 40 hours. It would rotate throughout the entire diocese, and there would be a priest who would preach on the fundamental teachings of the church, on the Eucharist, and this brought much devotion to our Holy Lord in the Eucharist. And I thought, well, you know, I'm thinking, well, this saint, maybe this is something, not maybe, I think it's a good thing. Let's bring back 40 hours devotions so that people have opportunities to adore Jesus in the Eucharist and be catechized. And I want to just say, Saint Anthony Zechariah, pray for us, especially here, 400 years later, nothing's changed. We're still in need of reform. So there you go. Bishop exactly. Sheen is going to come in. I'm wearing my Bishop Sheen shirt for those who are on video. Full Sheen ahead. It's got a picture of a choo-choo train. And I say full Sheen ahead is right. Because it was 4th of July yesterday, I looked up some patriotic stuff that Fulton Sheen spoke on. He was a great patriot for our country. And this was done back, are you ready, folks? February 20th, 1930. So it was well before Father Frank and I were born. He says this, "It is our solemn duty as Catholics, therefore, to be conscious of our duty to America and to preserve its freedom." And here's the key, by preserving its faith in God. Just a little comment. Have you noticed as the faith has died out in America, people not going to church, secularism, humanism has rampantly come in, immorality goes right up. So when people are not into their faith in God, the culture goes down. That's what he's saying, I take. He says this, "But as we talk about patriotism, it might be well to remind ourselves that in a crisis like this, even devotion to the stars and stripes is not enough to save us. We must look beyond them to other stars and stripes, namely the stars and stripes of Jesus Christ, by whose stars we are illuminated and by whose stripes we are healed." I think of what he just said, Father Frank. My take on this is our Constitution says our rights come from God, not from the government. And that's really unique about America from any other country in the entire world. So I think we need to focus on that, especially when it comes to the unborn. Your take on that?
Yes, and that goes to the core of the meaning of the 4th of July, of this holiday. Let's review the sure. basics, because it ties into what you just said. Mm-hmm. It was July 4th, 1776, that the Continental Congress ratified the Declaration of Independence. It had been declared a couple of days before, and it was ratified on July 4th. Now, this is the first and primary governing document of the United States of America, and it's still our governing document. We are the only country in the world, and I include Vatican City State, we're the only country in the world right now that is still operating under its original founding documents.
Wow.
That's amazing when you think about it.
Wow.
And there's a reason for that, which is that when you read what the Declaration of Independence says, you realize it doesn't get any better than this. And what I mean is the Declaration is a declaration of, well, what are they declaring independence from? They're declaring independence from a tyrant. Okay, the King of Great Britain was acting as a tyrant. And most of the Declaration of Independence is a litany of the abuses that these founders were objecting to. A litany of abuses, not just taxation without representation, but abuses against fundamental human rights, against the right to life itself, acts of violence, acts of paying no heed to the rights of duly elected lawmakers or the needs of the people or the roles of judges. The king was acting as a tyrant, well surpassing the bounds of his authority. And so these men, our founders, on this day said, we are not obliged to follow tyrants because we have our rights from God.
Amen.
And there you see right away the intersection of faith and patriotism. These men said we have our rights from God. We'll talk more about it.
I want to hear more about this because that's fascinating what you just said. We're the only country still with the original document. Wow. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Frank Pavone from Priest for Life is here. Talk about defending life at all stages. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back with a short break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Frank Pavone for Priest for Life is filling in for Jesse. I want to also welcome the new stations that are picking up Virgin Most Powerful Radio all throughout the United States. And if you have a Catholic station in your area, tell them about our shows. We have multiple shows that really help people fall deep in love with Jesus and his church. Father Frank, you were fascinating to hear. Well, before the break, you were talking about the uniqueness of the American experience, the Constitution. Can you continue on that realm, please?
Yes, yes. So July 4th, the Declaration of Independence was ratified. 245 years, by the way, this year. And that means 5 years from now, 2026, is a very important special 4th of July celebration. It's going to be our nation's 250th
wow.
birthday. Now, I'm sure many of our listeners, as do I, remember the bicentennial. The bicentennial, our 200th anniversary in 1976. I was a high school senior. That was my graduation year. And great, great celebration nationwide. So it's going to be a very, very big one also 5 years from now. But in any case, so this is our founding document. This is the document that says, who are we and why are we doing what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
This is what the founders laid out. And it's a declaration of independence from the tyranny that they felt under Great Britain. But it was a declaration of dependence on God. God is mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence, and the founders identify him as the creator who is the source of our rights. They appeal to him, by the way, as the supreme judge, and they say, look, we're doing this for the right intentions, and God is our witness, essentially is what they're saying. And they also appeal to his providence. And put their trust in his providence because they were undertaking quite a risky and dangerous act. It was an act of revolution, rebellion, but it was an act of great trust in God to set them free. And there, in reference to God, also in the Declaration, they identify his law rooted in nature, rooted in human nature. And that is what leads to, as I was saying before, you don't get any better than what's in the Declaration of Independence. We don't have to revise it. We don't have to amend it. We don't have to change it. You don't get any better than these principles because what it says there is God himself and his law is the source of all our rights.
Mm-hmm.
There is no appeal beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, every human law and every human authority has to submit to him. And the founders articulated this over and over again in so many of their other writings. They were believers. They believed in the Lord Jesus, in his gospel, in his law. And they said, any laws that we create, they have to be subject to God's law. No majority. And that's why they didn't establish a democracy. Democracy, you know, whatever the majority says goes, you know. But they said, no, there's certain laws of nature and of nature's God that we have to observe. And everything's got to be based around that. Sure, majorities have their say, but not in an absolute way. And so these were and are the reasons we really have to celebrate this founding document, which establishes a nation not based primarily on geography or ethnicity, but based on these self-evident truths. It mentions the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. People have come, there's a reason why the United States of America accepts every year more immigrants than any other country.
Right.
We are the most generous. Why? Because people come here from every other country recognizing the ideas and the ideals, the principles of God-ordered liberty that these founders understood and wrote into our founding documents.
Well said, Father Frank. And, you know, it's another topic, but this systemic racism that we say in America that they say we're having, I just say I wish they would go back to what Dr. Martin Luther King said, don't judge a man by his color of skin, but by his character.
Yes.
To me, that is essential. And that's what people judge America by. And why are they still coming? Because they see it is the land of free and people can live free from a government that's going to be repressive with their, especially their religious rights and freedom. So thank you for that. I was going to call it my class. But it's too much. That was excellent catechesis on our country. Father Frank, I have good news, and I love to promote the bishops. When I hear a bishop stand up for life or stand up for our faith, even among the government, it just hardens, it makes my heart sad, happy and joyful because I see a successor of the apostles standing up for our faith. And this story is that Catholic bishops, this is the U.S. Catholic Conference bishops, urged Congress last week to protect American taxpayers from being forced to fund the killing, and this is this clear, killing of unborn, and I will say innocent babies in abortion across the world. I always like to use the word innocent too, because
yes,
they are innocent. Who, tell me what crime did they commit? None. They're innocent. Okay. So on Thursday, our bishops asked Americans, us, to join their new letter writing campaign to stop taxpayer funded abortions and help mothers and babies. This was reported by Breitbart. Here's the interesting point, Father Frank, and you said you graduated from high school in 76. I'm 1 year earlier, 75. I remember the Hyde Amendment. I remember recording Congressman Hyde at pro-life conferences and meeting him. He was a hero of mine, okay? Now, the Hyde Amendment is perhaps the most well-known document in our that prohibits taxpayer funding for elective abortions in Medicaid and other health care programs. Here's the kicker, Father Frank. Since 1976, it is credited with saving about 2.4 million unborn innocent babies from abortion. And our president right now, President Biden, who's a baptized Catholic, is proposing in the budget to take the Hyde Amendment out. Any amendment that would say we can't fund abortions, not only in our country, Father Frank, but he's talking about that America needs to be funding the killing of innocent life worldwide. I think that the bishops, I thank them for speaking out so boldly on this because we need bishops like this. And I know the polls, Father Frank, say, you know, like, you know, 58% of Americans oppose tax dollar funding of abortions. 77% oppose using tax dollar fund abortions in other countries. I get all that. But you know what? This isn't a democracy. This goes back to what you just said earlier in our country, the right to life. And this is a right to life. So I want to ask you, because you've spent your whole priestly life protecting unborn babies, and now the bishops are coming out and saying we have to stop what President Biden is doing by letting him know that were against us. I say thank you, but I also say this, Father Frank, and then I'll let you say a few words on this. I believe as Catholics, we haven't done enough to protect the unborn, especially when elections come up and we're silent regarding the issue of abortion, because it might sound like we're being political. And I think that's not a good analogy, let's just say. I think that's a cop-out when it comes to elections, not to speak about the abortion issue. Your take on this?
Well, instead of seeing these measures of getting rid of like things like the Hyde Amendment, which saved 2.4 million lives, we should be looking at a Congress, bringing to the desk of a pro-life president a bill to defund Planned Parenthood. Amen. And that could have been happening.
Yes.
Had we voted the right way.
Right.
It's one thing to speak up now. And yes, of course, we have to speak up. And I'm not surprised that the bishops are speaking up. They're going to continue to speak up. But my goodness, we're speaking up now in the midst of a total disaster of an administration and a party, the Democrat Party, that is totally behind the abortion industry. Listen, they're not only taking away the Hyde Amendment, they're trying to take away every reasonable limitation and restriction on abortion that is supported by vast majorities of the American public. I'm talking about clinic regulations, late-term abortion, parental involvement, informed consent, any kind of limitation or regulation whatsoever. Let's just all understand something very simple. The Democrats want none of it. Amen. They want nothing getting in the way of handing every woman in America who wants it an abortion on a silver platter, no strings attached, no hoops to go through, no limitations whatsoever. That's their mindset. So they're doing this in a number of different ways. As the bishops are pointing out, not only have they've already eliminated the Hyde Amendment in the legislation they've put forward, their budget, it's not there. And remember, these protections of our taxpayer money from going for abortion were supported by both Republican and Democrat presidents and Congresses over the last four decades. So this is something new and radical. There's always been battles, over abortion funding, because abortion funding happens through many different, I think of them as many different faucets. It's not just one faucet that you turn on and off for taxpayer funding of abortion. There's many, many different ones. And that's why, there's the Hyde Amendment, there's the Dornan Amendment dealing with funding abortions in Washington, D.C. There's the Smith Amendment dealing with funding abortion in federal employee health programs. There's the Helms Amendment dealing with funding abortion overseas. The Democrats are getting rid of all of these. Every single one of them. And so people have to understand, first of all, how extreme, radically extreme they are. But that secondly, this is a new manifestation, if you will, of their extremism. And it's especially offensive, not only, like you said, given Biden's claim to Catholicism, but also given his flip-flop on this issue. Because as a senator, he did, in fact, vote against abortion funding at times, and he was in fact in support of the Hyde Amendment. So it's like, what's going on here? And it's time for people to really wake up.
Well said. When we come back, I want to bring a story from Bishop Robert Barron regarding this very issue, regarding the protection of unborn babies, and how he was talking to the Democratic Party people to try and have a dialogue regarding a partial abortion. Live more babies being born alive. And when he had to say, really shocked me in one sense, but doesn't surprise me in another sense, because if I read the platform of the Democratic Party, it very clearly states it's for killing innocent life, especially the unborn. And if that is the case, I'll just say it right up front, but I want to, when we come back from the break, I want to bring up Bishop Barron's story. But I can't see anybody being a Catholic and a Democrat, okay? Because they don't equate. You can't be killing innocent life and saying you're a devout Catholic. They don't mix. Sorry, President Biden. Sorry, Pelosi and all these others. they need to be converted so that they can live their Catholic faith and get to heaven, because right now they're on a road to hell by promoting the killing of innocent life. And that's charity for them, because we want to see them get to heaven. We'll be back with more Terry and Jesse Show with Father Frank Pavone.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're not going to take any phone calls. I just want to say I want to get Father Frank as much airtime to share his perspective regarding the unborn. And Father Frank, before the break, you were talking about funding abortion through the Hyde Amendment and all these other areas. And I was saying that Bishop Robert Barron was on YouTube just last week discussing his experience talking to politicians in Washington regarding the partial abortion bill, and saying that, you know, can we have a discussion on this? And these were Democrat party, because they're for it, for killing unborn innocent babies. And so he was saying, well, can we at least discuss, I know you're for abortion, but what about when the baby's born alive? And these politicians would not even discuss this with Bishop. And the Bishop was saying, I can't believe that they would not even have a dialogue on this. They're closed-minded regarding this issue. Well, Father Frank, I hate to say this, but I've spoken with my politicians for decades who are Democrats, who tell me, there's no dialogue here. I'm gonna kill unborn babies, and I don't acknowledge that they're babies. So here's my point. Reality sets in, and I'm just going to be honest with you, Father, and I say it again. The Catholics who are listening right now, who are belonging to the Democrat Party, and you read your party lines, your platforms, it is against the Catholic faith, killing innocent life. There's no way you can justify being a Democrat. And I get other people will say, well, argue with me, and they're fine to argue. But I feel like, how can we support a policy as a, you know, as a Catholic, especially when it's a politician, that I'm trying to move the football towards the first down or the touchdown when it comes to the unborn babies, when I'm voting for a party that wants to kill innocent life? They don't mix. So my question to you is, what would you tell as a priest to Bishop Barron, that your experience has been similar? Or would you say, Bishop Barron, keep going at this, we need to continue to dialogue with the Democratic Party?
And my experience has been very similar, and we have to understand there's a simple reason why.
Okay.
There's a simple reason why they will not talk about this.
Why?
And that is, there's nothing to say. I mean, their position, okay, has absolutely no rational basis.
Well said.
That's why they won't talk about it, because there's nothing to say. There's nothing to talk about. We're talking about men and women. We're talking about a party and a platform.
Yes.
Okay. That is taking away protection even from babies born alive.
Unbelievable.
Now, what do you say? How can you possibly say? Where's the dialogue there? There's nothing to say. Yeah. What can you possibly say to justify that? Now, let me put my experience in context.
Please do.
There is nobody in the movement that has been more engaged over the years in dialogue with the other side than I have. I mean, I have a friendship with Bill Baird.
Wow.
The pro-choice movement. Yes. I developed a friendship with Ron Fitzsimmons when he was the president of the National Coalition of Abortion Providers.
Wow.
I have been inside abortion clinics with the administrator of the facility showing me around.
Wow.
Okay. I talk with these people. I talk with them all the time. I talk with the ex-abortionists. We help them to, you know, a transition into healing. I talk with the politicians and whatnot. And I'll tell you you have more probability of having a reasonable conversation with an abortionist than with a Democrat member of Congress.
Wow.
Let me say that again. You can sit down with a man or a woman who actually takes these babies, all right, in his hands and tears their arms and legs off and crushes their head. You have more of a possibility of having a conversation with them than you do with Nancy Pelosi, Dick Durbin, Joe Biden, or these any of these Democrat members of Congress. Now, why is that? There's a reason for this. The ones who are tearing the babies apart, okay, they wouldn't be able to do that without on some level realizing and admitting that it's a baby. Mm-hmm. Because they're faced with the reality every day. They have no way of escaping the fact that this is a painful procedure because they see the tears on the faces of the women that they're on whom they're doing the abortions.
Wow.
But Nancy Pelosi, yes. She hasn't handled an aborted baby. Joe Biden, he hasn't torn the arms or legs off an aborted baby. Senator Blumenthal, who introduced this radical bill that I mentioned, like I mentioned before, they're trying to take away every reasonable restriction on abortion. And so they introduced this bill to do exactly that. Well, I mentioned these three names, Pelosi, Blumenthal, and Biden, because recently Pelosi and Blumenthal were both asked the same question, and Biden was asked through his press secretary yes. the same question, yes. based out of this Mississippi case that's right. going to the Supreme Court now yes. about protecting babies from 15 weeks on, right?
Right.
And so they were asked, is a baby at 15 weeks in the womb a human being? Now, you ask an abortionist that question, he or she is going to give you a clear answer.
Sure.
They know it's a human being. They're handling the baby. They're looking at the arms and the legs and making sure all the pieces are there after they pull them out of the mother's womb. But again, Blumenthal, Pelosi, they've never handled an aborted baby. And so they get to see, they have the luxury of escaping into this conceptual denial. And none of them could answer this question. They refuse to answer the question. Now, A ninth grade biology student can answer this question if that's a human being, but they can't. Why? Because they're invested in killing these little human beings. So they don't answer the question. I don't see how we can have in public office, you know, people that are, you know, they're legislating on the abortion issue and they can't even answer honestly what abortion is. But that's why this is going on. It's deep. There's nothing to say. They can't justify killing these babies. And we can extend the offer of dialogue, but please don't be surprised when these people don't even want to discuss it.
Well said, Father Frank. That gives me an opportunity to plug our movie night, Roe versus Wade. We're going to be showing Sunday, July 11th here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. It'll be at 6:30 in the evening, so I want to invite folks to come. Father Frank, I have found like the Silent Scream, many pro-life videos, movies. You've been involved in many of them. Mm. It seems like that's a really good tool to change people's hearts regarding abortion.
There's no substitute for it. It's the best way, you know, yeah. when you can get into the arts.
Yes.
You know, the pro-life message has to be conveyed in preaching. It has to be conveyed in legal documents. It has to be conveyed in educational arguments. But in the arts too, in film, in drama, in music, these films are very, very powerful. And as you say, I've helped to produce a lot of them, including this most recent one, Roe versus Wade. We were involved in its production from the beginning. And it's a tool that we all need to use now. Like, let's get as many different people as possible to watch this film and those like it. Because it will inform the mind, it will move the heart, it will bring people into the drama, the conflict of the two opposing sides in this long-running abortion controversy.
I'll give you one more example. Maybe you haven't seen it because I just saw it. America Has Talent. Here's a young man with his wife. Did you see the video too? You're smiling.
No.
Okay, well, here's the story. It's an amazing pro-life video that I think will reach millions, and I want to play it on our show. Maybe later in the week we'll play this, because here's what it is: a young man with his young wife and this little two-year-old little boy in their arms, and he's a magician. He's going to show you how he can do his magic, and all the people there are watching. And so he says, well, before I do this, I want to tell you about something that's really magical for me, and it's our adopted son. And they tell the story of how heroic the mother of this, of my son, gave that baby up for adoption. She made the most heroic decision to keep that baby alive, and we are the recipients of that beautiful decision. And I just want to honor her publicly on television for this. So, Father, I'll send you a link because I'm not doing it justice. It brought me to tears to watch it. And you know what was powerful? All those folks, I don't know the names, but they're famous movie people. They were in tears watching this. Because, and I thought, that's how we change hearts. So anyhow, that's something I'll shoot off. And people, you can Google it on YouTube. America's Got Talent, about a magician that had the adopted son. And Father, can I tell you, 2 years later, that little boy is sitting in his mother's lap, adopted mother's lap, and he's a, you know, who in the world would look at that baby and say, yeah, go ahead and terminate that baby right now? I can't, yeah. but that's the that's what we're saying in our culture. And I just thought that was such a beautiful testimony for life. Okay, I had to share that. Father Frank, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about what is happening. 35 times over the last 8 days, Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her Democratic colleagues in the House have blocked requests from Republicans of the House floor to have a vote on a bill to ban taxpaying funding of abortions. Now, this is consistent with the platform of both parties, so no surprise. But I want to ask you again to talk about how is it that we as Catholics can support and the pro-life effort through our elected officials, because somebody voted those people into office who are doing this. Somebody did that. And many of them, unfortunately, might even be Catholics and baptized Catholics. And how can we convince Catholics to stop voting for a party that is the party of death? And I'm going to say that's what I call the Democratic Party. And some people are going to get mad for me to say that, but I'll challenge you to read the platform of the Democratic Party and not be able to call it what I just said, the party of death. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. My phone's going crazy with people right now. Oh, the YouTube channel. Yeah, it's right. I got it right now. People all know about this. Okay. It's called America Got Talent Link with the magical dad who talks about his beautiful adopted son. You got to watch it, man. And you know what you need to do? Send it out to people. I'm going to talk about it for a long time, and I hope you will too. We'll come back with Father Frank Pavone for our last segment to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back tomorrow. Father Frank Pavone's with me. Father, during the break, I went in on the, YouTube and typed in to get that video. And are you going to be shocked? The video is now unavailable.
Uh-oh.
Here's what's happening. YouTube, we were already taken off of YouTube. We had Bishop Joseph Strickland talking about the Sixth Commandment. That was strike one. They said you can't talk about adultery being wrong because that offends our listenership. So we're living at times. That's why I go to Parler. It'll be there, I'm sure. We have alternatives. Before I get to the Nancy Pelosi question, I just want to give a plug because we're talking about social media right now. They took this video that was a pro-life message off. Well, President Trump's advisor launches a new cancel-free social media platform called Getter, G-E-T-T-R, and it's going to be giving, it's July 4th, so yesterday it's open. Check it out because they're not going to take us down for being pro-life like some social media people are, and I know Priest for Life has also had to deal with that. So, Father Frank, I'm questioning this issue. The Democratic Party is blocking over and over again in 8 days, 35 times, a Republican request to have a vote to ban taxpayer funding of abortions. Hasn't this been going on for a long time where one party promotes life and the other party stops it?
Yes, throughout all my time as a pro-life leader, we've been seeing the same kind of a battle. Okay. The Democrats want to pour money into the abortion industry, right? Because frankly, a lot of that money then comes back to them in campaign contributions. Because remember, Planned Parenthood, it's not a healthcare organization. It's a political machine.
That's right.
They spend tens of millions of dollars on political candidates and it's the Democrat candidates they support. But in any case, the bill that we're talking about here is the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion bill. And this represents, again, the position of most Americans, whether they're pro-life, pro-choice, Republican, Democrat. They don't want to be paying for somebody else's abortion.
Yeah, it's
as simple as that. You know, whether they think abortion should be allowed is a different question. But they don't want to pay for someone else's abortion. No, what the Republicans are proposing is simply this. As I mentioned before, there are many different faucets that pour money to one degree or another into the abortion industry from our taxpayer dollars. And what happens is that in Congress, there are always these battles over each particular faucet. Mm-hmm. There's a battle, there's a debate, there's a vote, there's a back and forth every single year. Because they do what they call these riders, the appropriations. We're going to give, in other words, what's happening here is the Congress, which takes care of the money, right, says we're going to give this money to this program, this money to this government program over here. Okay. And then the question arises, well, can that money be used for abortion? And then, again, there's the debate that ensues. Mm-hmm. Now, what the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion bill would do is turn off all the spigots at once. Instead of having all these individual battles every single year, this bill would say, based on the support of the American people and also based on the court, you know, some people will try to say, oh, this is against Roe v. Wade. No, not according to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has held from the very, very earliest years after Roe that a government allowing abortion does not mean that the government has to pay for it. It is perfectly consistent in the eyes of the court. It is perfectly consistent with Roe v. Wade to say we're going to allow abortion, but we're not going to fund it. So the government is on solid ground here. Both the state governments and the federal government can say no money is going to abortion. And that's what this bill wants to implement. And as you pointed out, the Democrats, not only do they not support the bill, they don't even want to have a vote on it. They don't even have they don't even want to talk about it.
Right.
And listen, for them, it's politically smart not to talk about it. Why? Because the midterms are right around the corner. And this goes, of course, I know you want to go in this direction.
I did, Father.
This goes to the solution to all of this.
Yes.
The Republicans are going to take back the House and the Senate in the midterm elections.
Please, God, I hope so.
Me too. And that's the way we stop this nonsense. And the Democrats know this, and they don't want to be tarred, you know, with the label of being wanting to pay for, you know, force people to pay for abortions. So they figure, well, if we don't have a debate and a vote, then I don't have to vote against it. I'm going to vote against it. But I mean, in other words, against this no taxpayer funding bill. And if they vote against it, now they're on public record. They know that groups like Priests for Life, they know that programs like the Terry and Jesse Show are going to start identifying specific people. Hey, this your representative voted to let your dollars be used for killing babies. And that's what they don't want. So that's why they don't want to even discuss it or have a vote.
Father Frank, I want to talk about the resources you have to offer, especially if someone's listening who maybe 20 years ago had an abortion or participated in an abortion. I always want to reach out to those souls because there's hope in Christ.
There is. You know, aside from all my political and legislative activity, I am also the pastoral director for the world's largest ministry for healing after abortion.
Amen.
And it's called Rachel's Vineyard. It was founded by Dr. Teresa and Kevin Burke. I was just with both of them this week. They're members of our pastoral team here at Priests for Life. We are leading the way in bringing the healing, the mercy, the forgiveness, the compassion. There's a special website we have set up called abortionforgiveness.com. And friends, if you remember nothing else from this program, take down that website. You can enter a zip code and find whether it's a Rachel's Vineyard retreat or one of the many other ministries for healing the wounds of abortion closest to where you or the person who needs it lives. Abortionforgiveness.com. And, Terry, every single day, people are coming. And when they come to these retreats that we offer about 1,000 of them per year.
Wow. That's awesome.
They are coming to a retreat in which they're going to hear the word of God.
Yes.
They're going to have the sacraments of the church.
Awesome.
There are also interdenominational versions of this retreat. And based on solid psychological research done by Dr. Burke and others on how to heal the trauma of abortion. So again, abortionforgiveness.com. Listen, nobody should feel alone. And when you hear us talking, like we talk very forcefully on these programs about, you know, against abortion and you know, talking about how evil it is, please understand something. We who reject abortion do not reject those who have abortions.
Amen.
We reject the sin, not the sinner.
Amen.
We reject the evil, not the person who ended up doing the evil because they were deceived, they were pressured, they were weak. We want to embrace you and lift you up and free you and bring you to the love and mercy of Christ.
And Father Frank, I know how important monthly donors are to Freeze for Life. If our listeners, I'm going to encourage my endorsement, whichever that means, but I'm going to endorse again and again Priest for Life. How can people become a monthly donor or even just a one-time donation? How can they help you with this work?
There's a special website for this, prolifegift.org. Mm-hmm. Prolifegift.org is the donation page for Priests for Life. And as you just said, you'll see both options there. You can make a one-time gift, tax deductible, of course, or you can make a monthly pledge. Prolifegift.org. Thank you in advance. And we got a lot of folks working with us to save these lives.
Father Frank Pavone, you've always been a joy to have on our show. I want to publicly thank you for your years of service to the unborn and to Holy Mother, the Church, and standing up for life in season and out. And Father, you don't use this quote very often, but I don't forget it. Back in the 1990s, just before you give us a blessing, can you share your experience and what St. John Paul II said to you in Rome, visiting him, about the work for Priests for Life?
He said, God bless you and your apostolate for life. And he repeated something he had said to Father Paul Marx about the pro-life effort. He says, most important work on earth. And so God bless St. John Paul II. And may God bless all of you, friends, through his intercession. May he bless and protect you always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks again, Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life, for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thanks for having me.
God bless you. Folks, I want to also take this opportunity to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We can't do what we're doing without you. And, you know, every summer, we always have the summer slump. You know, things get slow. And we're trying to put in a backup system right now for a battery so that when the power gets shut off in California, our radio show keeps going. And I've got about 3,000 of the $8,500 raised already to support buying this system that will support power when the power is cut off. So our radio shows will continue to be broadcast that way. And if you want to make a donation, I give out my cell phone. I'm probably the only guy on Catholic radio for the last 20 years giving out his cell number. Can you imagine the calls I get for, yep, that's all right. 661-972-7872. Call me. And I'd be happy to help you support our work. If you don't want to talk to me, call the guys upstairs at 877-526-2151. I'll thank you in advance for your support. If you're a monthly donor, you get hundreds of dollars worth of videos and audios downloaded to you as a supporter of $25 a month or more. And that helps pay the monthly bills here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. People like Dr. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Dr. Brant Petrie, Jeff Cavins, you know, my 30, 40 years of recording these guys at conferences, all that available to you. So you could be living anywhere on the planet. As long as you have an internet connection, you'll be listening to great teachings that gives you an opportunity to be a high information Catholic. Because right now the battle is on. Don't forget, Cardinal George said it this way, and I'll leave you with this. He said, the church is a scandal to the worldly when she's faithful to her Lord and her teachings and her acts. Yeah, we're a scandal. They don't want to hear about a pro-life message, the world. But the church is a scandal to the faithful when her members and her ministers dissent from teachings and excuse themselves from her prescriptions. The first scandal is our mission. The second is our shame. Does the church need a reform? Well, the saint of the day said, start 40 hours for devotion. Start Eucharistic adoration, reparation, expiation. The answer is be holy or die trying. I always ask Jesse this question, but before I do it, don't forget the five stones of King David. Read your Bible. Get the Mass, Eucharistic adoration. Pray the rosary. And remember, please, Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make reparation for them. We can do that. Your daily duty, do it well. It's as simple as that. Don't get upset. Get holy. And again, I'd ask Jesse this question. Jesse, what state should we be living in? And Jesse would say, the state of grace. Not Tucson, Arizona. Not any California. It's the state of grace we want to be living in. Get the confession. I was blessed. I got to go to confession yesterday. I'm a new creation. You can become a new creation by doing the same thing. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the message here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family. Full sheen ahead.